Blog Talk Radio.
It could be morning, it could be evening, but I'm up here in Maine. It is noon, Sunday afternoon. I hope everyone is having a great Sunday. And even though it's been raining in Maine for about the past two weeks now, I know, like in The Crow, it doesn't have to rain all the time. And I'm so very excited. I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to think of everything I've ever learned from martial arts about focusing, wax on, wax off, jacket on, focus, 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 and reserve my energy and bring it down low. So when I bring my guests on, I don't scare them. But I'm very excited. I'm very happy to once again bring Douglas Wong back on the show. I am so thrilled. I just feel so honored to have this man on my show, and we'll be talking about a seminar that he will be doing and other things. And I do ask people, when they do call in, be very, very respectful towards Douglas. The two call-in numbers will be 347-989-1473 and 877-907-7217. I do ask, once again, stick to the topic on the show. I don't want this to be a tabloid radio station or anything like that, but anyway, to get back on track here, I'd like to give a little bit of respect in the martial arts world because we have lost two great men. And I'm actually trying to multitask here, look at a couple of things. And I'm sorry, I do apologize because I do have a funny accent. I'm actually originally from Boston, and I try to pronounce people's names as best as I can. In the Shaw's Brother universe, we have lost a very great man, a very, very great man. And it's Master Liu, and a lot of people might know him as Gordon Liu. But he had passed away from cancer, and I think he was suffering from this for a very, very long time. And I'm very saddened that this man has passed away because as I was a young girl, many, many men that I've watched in the kung fu theater in that genre during the time of growing up, you know, like on USA and that crazy kung fu dubbing, this man, he did a lot of work, and you can actually look him up. And I give respect to him, Master Liu, as of this moment. Another man that we had lost recently, a couple of days ago, was Jim Kelly, and he's another great martial artist in the martial arts world, but a lot of people know him as working with Bruce Lee and Into the Dragon, and much respects to him. And I just wanted to give a little bit of respect to these great men that, you know, in my heart, I know they will always be great, and they will always forever be tattooed in my heart. And I am very lucky and very honored to be able to keep having these great men on my show. It's like reliving my childhood and be able to talk to these men. So I feel very, very honored, and he should be calling in soon. Anyway, I'm just very lucky and very honored while I'm waiting for Douglas to call in to know what these men go through and their work, because in the past couple of years I've been getting into films and being able to be see what these guys go through, not just the acting and the stunts, but working on a film called Valkyr. And as you know, I usually open up the show with the song called Battle Song, which is actually done by Director Z. And I want to say, and I'm hoping I'm going to say the name of his group is Pisces Projects, and you can listen to them. And I do think I have my special guest now on in the queue here, so give me one moment. I'm actually multitasking and trying to answer people at the same time, so forgive me if I'm slow. I'm still learning here, so give me one moment. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Good morning, Shelley. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine and very excited, and how are you doing?
Great, great, great. Just been busy this morning.
I can imagine. I do see, I've been trying to look up more stuff on you on your Facebook page and many things, and I'm like, you have done a lot for many decades, and I'm just like, I'm so impressed, and I'm like, whoa. And you, it's just like, I'm so very thankful that you've come back on my show today. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem, no problem. I enjoy getting on talk shows and just talk my head off, you know. I just enjoy talking.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. And I did see something I noticed you were posting, and I was trying to find, I got invited to the event, and I kept trying to find it in my Facebook page. And when I found the picture, it was all in Spanish. And I'm like, oh, no. I was, like, trying to find it. When I'm trying to find an event, I can't find it. But you know how Facebook goes. They'll
right.
post 50 million things when you don't want it, and I was trying to find it, and I wanted to help promote your seminar because I know in about a week you're going to be having a seminar. Is that correct?
Yes, I'll be going down to Tijuana for one of my seminars. That's coming up, on July 7th. No, 6th. That's on Saturday, and then I will be having the other event at the History Museum on July 7th. That's Alexander Fu Xin unveiling of his buster at the Martial Art History Museum. So I'll be busy that weekend.
Well, but when aren't you busy? You're always busy. Busy man keeps you young, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's for sure. Yeah, so, yeah, my seminar is what I've been doing. That's been my project for the last couple years. I've been trying to set up a lot of seminars, you know, so when I retire, and hopefully by the end of this year or maybe next year, that I'll just be doing seminars, you know, just going on my seminar tours and just going all over and just spreading my White Lotus system, teaching them some of the fighting aspect, the healing aspect, the philosophy, some of the meditation and so forth. So, you know, so I'm still deeply into the martial arts, so, you know, I always will be. And, you know, if any film project or anything like that happens on along the way, I'll get involved with that also. But my main concern right now is spreading the art, my White Lotus art, to the world. So that's what I'm doing now. And, you know, there's so many people that when I go down there, I'm also doing a healing seminar. Because a lot of people go down there, they're seen by different doctors, chiropractors, acupuncturists, and so forth. And a lot of time, their pain is not being relieved, is not being done right. You know, there's certain elements that the Chinese culture teach them how to do, but they're not doing it properly. But I also learned a few other systems that was not widely taught to the general public. So I have a few different things, what's called tendon setting and bone setting. So I can realign everything. So what I do, I realign the body so everything is back in its natural position, and that usually relieves all the pain and pressure and everything else. And what I try to do is get to the root of the pain. Because a lot of people, what they give it the medicine to cover up the pain, not to get rid of it. So my thing is to get down there and re-straighten, realign everything, that everything is flowing naturally in your body, your chi is flowing. So that's my thing in life now, is just to help relieve pain for people.
I'm really glad you're talking about this other side where everybody in the world, I mean, especially through films, we all know about martial arts, and they show all these, like, these crazy movements and such, and it's like, I'm glad you're talking about this other aspect, because I'm not a teacher. I mean, I'm learning. I was just blessed within in my, you know, past couple of years learning about martial arts and going and really knowing what it's about. And most people in society that don't know what we know, you know, they're not going to know about this other positive besides, you know, physical strength, knowing how to kick butt, but also to know about the healing and such. And that's like, you know, I want to give more respect and a different perspective and bringing people like you on the show to explain other things and about the healings. And that's why I'm glad you're talking about your seminar and what you do. And if you can tell more about it, would you be able to, I mean, talk anything about it to explain it to people?
Well, yeah. Well, see, when we first did in Kung Fu, like a few of my teachers, the main thing, everybody thinks Kung Fu is fighting. That's all they think mm-hmm. about. Actually,
yep.
Kung
yep.
Fu is health first. Fighting is just a byproduct of the art. Our teacher always taught us, any person that we hurt, we must be able to heal. So we break a bone, dislocate something, we have to be able to pop it back in there. So that was all part of the aspect. But a lot of arts don't do that. You know, you get in like taekwondo and all these other arts, they're just trying to break you up and that's it. They don't know how to put you back together again, you know.
Yeah.
Especially like a lot of mixed martial arts, you know, you get hurt on the mat and they help call the doctor. I mean, you know, a lot of times when you have the injury, if you can reset and realign the body within 5 to 10 minutes, everything is fine. There's no swelling. There's no pain. There's nothing. So, like, sometimes when I used to go to my daughter's basketball game, girls would drop down to sprain their ankle or twist their knees or dislocate a shoulder. They holler for me to come down, or my wife. We go in there and pop, pop, pop. They're up and playing in the next couple minutes because everything's reset again. And so that's what people don't understand. They wait forever to go see a doctor, and by that time it's set in place. You're walking, you're taking the pressure off. Next thing you're putting your foot in a different angle, so you're trying to compensate for it. When you're compensating for the part that's injured, like your right leg, then you're putting the pressure on the left leg in a different way, and so you're injuring both sides. So that's what people don't understand. If you have somebody that knows what they're doing, they get down there within the first couple of minutes, man, that's it. That's the time to do it while he's injured. So I've done a lot of dislocations, a lot of sprains, a lot of everything, and just pop them in right then and there. You know, they're able to go and play again. You know, so it's just like they never miss to skip the beat. They said, wow, that's amazing. I said, no, it's not amazing. It's just part of the knowledge that we had to learn. You know, that's one thing I'm glad our teacher put that into our mind. So, and you're not just there to hurt somebody. You got to be able to help people also. So we used to have clinics on the weekends. And that's what we had to learn. All of our meditation is to channel our chi. And we use a lot of our chi to do for the healing. So it's like the healing hand, you know. As they state in the Bible, you know, Jesus healed with the hand. But every human being is capable of doing this. Not saying that we're gods or anything like that. It's just that we have the structure in our body. We have the energy that we can channel through our body to help people. But a lot of it is not being taught or is not widely known to the general public. So that's why, in a way, I really enjoyed the Chinese art, because it did make us learn about the healing aspect. Like I said, I've taken many other arts, and they do some basic healing, but not as much as the Chinese.
Mm-hmm. And when I can understand, like, everything you're saying, and it's like I'm learning, and I have so much more to learn. And it's like when, you know, some community, the martial arts community, you can sit there and you can be open-minded, but when I go out of it to people that are in a different society, you know, in today's world here, like in America, and I try to explain things the best I can. I don't know, you know, technical terms. Sometimes I forget things, and it's like I try to explain things the best I can, and they go, well, Shelley, that's all bull. Like, they sit there, and it's like I can't, like, reach people, and they're like, oh, no, that's just this and this and this, and it's like that's all bull crap, and I'm like, but – it's like, why not give it a chance? Like, people are afraid. And I'm just like, well, something, you know, like medications where, you know, this is supposed to help you. But then when you take medications, you're hearing now on commercials, well, it has side effects. And then it leads to death. And you have to take another medication to help out with the first medications. And I'm like, why are we taking medications in the first place? If you're a doctor, isn't the point of your job to help another human being to heal? So with people like you, I try to listen to more, because it does make sense with what you're saying to me, but I can't bring it back to explain to people, and I'm hoping to bring, like, with you on here in your words, and when they hear it from you, maybe they'll understand more. So, I mean, when someone comes to tell you and says, oh, well, that's bull, right? I mean, have you ever had anybody said that to you? What do you say to someone like that?
I get all kinds of skeptics, people coming through. But the whole idea is, that's when we start explaining to them, the first thing you have to know is about your body. You have to know the medical purpose, the physiology, the movements, how, and the mechanics of how it works. But when we study, we have to learn everything from A to Z, you know, how the body works, what connects to this, what makes this flow, what makes that work. And that's why the Chinese medicine, that's why people are getting so much behind acupuncture, because there's another medical system that the Western doctors don't understand. But they themselves, like a lot of doctors, when my teacher was teaching us, my acupuncture doctor, they brought him in from Taiwan to USC. And so he had a clinic going. And so they had it there with all these different doctors from different practice, chiropractors, you know, regular this, that, whatever, specialized. Well, most of those guys were taking treatments from the acupuncture doctor, my teacher, because he was doing things that those guys couldn't do. And then he started explaining the principle of what's behind it, because what happens when a body gets injured or any type of illnesses or any type of pain is that your chi is not flowing. There's something wrong with the body. And that's where the Chinese go to what they call the 12 meridian points. Each meridian point is connected to the organ in the body. And if it's out of balance, that's what causes the pain. So the Chinese try to go back in there with the acupuncture or acupressure or using different herbal medicine. It's all the same principles. It's still based on the meridian points. So it depends on what type of healing you learn. But what we try to do is try to balance out the body to put it back into its natural state so that you have less pain and everything is gone. It's flowing again. But sometimes you bump into a table or you go in a car accident, you tweak your neck or something, or you hit a meridian point that's connected to your kidneys and you start getting pains there, or your back's out of alignment, but they couldn't put it back in. Like an example, I went down to Tijuana, let's see, I think it was last year, I forget what part, I went down about 3-4 times. And I had one guy, he's been going to chiropractor for about the last 6 years, trying to have his back adjusted. You know, he said once he gets adjusted, it lasts for about, 2-3 weeks, and then pain comes back again. And I said, okay, well, let me see what's going on. I said, I make no guarantees. I always tell you this, I make no guarantees. I'll see what I can do. And, you know, I found out that there's certain parts that they do all this cracking the bones and everything else, but they don't do the full set. They only can do so much. Okay, so mine, I have to check with them. I have to see what age they are and so forth, because there's different techniques. For younger people, you do certain things. For older people, you can't do the same thing. It puts too much shock in their body. So I was doing what's them. This guy was 43, I think. So he was still under 50, so that was good. So I did what's called body whip, a technique. I have him laying on the ground on his back, and I have one guy holds both legs. I take the arms in the back there, and I shake it a little bit, and I loosen it up, and I snap that baby, and you can hear everything from the tailbone all the way to the top of the neck. And he said, "Whoa, what was that?" And he took a big breath. He thought he died there for a second. I said, "It's going to be a big shock." I said, "I can't tell you too much about it right now, but else you won't do it." And once I finished it, so it's been almost a year, has no pain, no problems, nothing. You know, I keep getting a good thank you from him all the time. Because there's certain things a chiropractor can do, but it doesn't realign everything. I put everything back in place to his natural state, like when you was being born as a baby. So that's what's happened. I realign everything. And it's just knowing how to do that. You know, my other teacher taught me also, I have one, Albert Leong. He had a bad back. He got injured doing a stunt in one movie. I forget which one it was. So he laid him down on his back, took a 2x4, put on the base of his foot, you know, right against both feet, took a sledgehammer, hit that 2x4. Albert's body went sliding about 3 to 4 feet the opposite direction. He screamed because, you know, it's a shock. You don't know what's going on. And then he got up, he was jumping and twisting, and like it was no pain. He's never had a pain again after that. But, you know, it's just some of the things that Chinese people have. And it's strange. People see that and say, "What? A sledgehammer? What the hell are you going to do with that?" But, you know, it's knowing how to align it. But he did me the same thing, but I dislocated my hip. I was working two jobs or something. We just came back from Vegas doing a demonstration with one of my teachers, and I had a box of computer paper. I was working midnight shift 9, and I threw the box. I forget to let go, and it jerked my body, my elbow, my hip. It just went out. And so he happened to be in town, my teacher from Taiwan at that time, so Shi Hong Shu was his name. And so he said, "Well, can you come over?" I said, "I can't walk. I tried for an hour. I couldn't even go 10 feet. It was so much pain." So he came to the house, sat me up against the couch, put both my feet together, you know, like in a position where he had my back, make sure it was straight, and he jumped up and went down on my knees, and that popped the hip right back in place. And, oh, the pain you're talking about. It was crazy. But he said, "I already did it halfway. We've got to do it again." I said, "Oh, my goodness." I wish he did it the first time. But after he put it in, put some medicine on there, I was up and walking and doing everything. In the hospital, I've been in 6 months in traction just trying to pull it back in place. And it was like, you know, less than a minute. He did it. And just amazing. But some of the stuff is very painful. But he didn't have this herb with him because he was from Taiwan. It was a pain, so you can take it, like, you know, to take away the pain before he did it. But you say, well, we got to go for it raw here, buddy. I said, okay, go for it. You know, I've had treatments done to me, so I know exactly what it feels like. But he put everything back in there, and I've had no problem since. So it's just one of those things. But there's so many different healing methods out there, but I try to learn for anybody who has any way of doing different methods. I just want to learn all the different ways. Well, maybe one style will not work, another style will cover it. So that's what I try to do. I want to make sure that I have enough knowledge. It's better to have more than enough knowledge than no knowledge at all.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, a lot of people, when they come back to me, you know, going back to the thing about people calling it bull, and then they come back and say, "Well, you know, if they did this, and it's all natural, and, well, they died of cancer anyway," and I try to explain to people, it's try to help alleviate pain along the way. I mean, nothing in this world is totally curable, and that's why people are like, "Well, if someone still has it, why should I bother with it?" And then trying to get it out there is, it's not the side effects, because you hear about all this, you know, chemo and all these things that are so poisonous and toxic to your body. If you have something that's all natural and it kind of helps a little bit better, why not try it? What have you got to lose? You know,
yeah, definitely. The problem is that is the diet that we have also. And because the Chinese, when they follow the pattern, they follow the season. There's certain food that we eat during the wintertime, the summertime, the springtime, fall, and it follows in a cycle. And this keeps the body running natural. You know, that's why a lot of certain people that follow this diet, there's no such thing as cancer in their system. It's only when they come here and they start eating certain things and all this radiation's in there or this thing. You know, there's so many bad things in the food that we eat now. But they process it. You know, they take all the goodness out of it and it just leaves all the bad stuff. There's, you know, zero anything that's going to help build the body. So that's what you have to be careful of. And that's what people don't understand. But it's a lifestyle. It's not something that you can just gonna start today and hope it's going to start working by next week. And, you know, it's a period of time. So that's why the Chinese have so many different things that they eat during a certain time of the season. So there's different colors that we have that goes over. There's different sounds. There's different vegetables. There's different, you know, there's so many different things on the chart. But it's all part of the body system that runs. So that's what people don't understand. So yeah, there's a lot of people skeptical out there. But until they come in there and start learning some of this stuff, like I've taught a lot of my students when I have my special classes for, they go back and they learn the different cooking ideas that I give them, and they work on it, and it's helped their body tremendously. So you know, you have to bring them in there. Just like when I do my meditation and seminars and I go out there, people say, oh, we don't believe in chi. What the hell is that, you know? I said, well, within 5 minutes after I give you these certain exercises, you tell me what you feel. I'm not telling you anything. And within 5 minutes, those people are all freaking out, feeling all this energy through their body, through their hand, and everything else. And, you know, I've done it in front of 200-300 people at a time, and they're just freaking out. But they're not martial artists. I said, that's great. I don't want you to be martial artists. I want you to see for yourself what's in your body, what you are capable of doing. I'm not telling you what to feel. You tell me what you feel afterwards. I'm not putting words in your mouth. And man, they just start freaking out. And after that, I got them. Then I start teaching them all the different things after that. So all I need is 5 minutes, and I'll have them. That's all I need. And even a non-believer, they'd say, wow, that feels strange. What was that? I said, that's your chi. That's your energy. I'm not putting anything into you. I'm making you aware of what's in your body, what's around you. I said, I'm no magic. I'm not putting magic in you and doing everything else. I said, that's the energy that you have around you, but you didn't know how to cultivate, how to manipulate, how to channel it. Because you can do a lot of self-healing, but you also use it to help heal other people. So So that's what you need, a lot of those people to understand that. So one day, whenever you get out here, I'll teach you some of those exercises, and you'll enjoy it. You teach it to other people, and you make believers out of them also. But this is nothing. But a lot of times when people talk about the chi, they say, well, yeah, after you stay with me for 10 or 15 years, I'll teach you this. If somebody's willing to teach you, you can learn it in 10 minutes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I swear you sound like my brother Z, because because he's like one of my teachers, and he's been talking about food. I'm going, oh my gosh, did my brother Z talk to you? I'm going, uh-oh. It's like you're talking about the food, because I fall off with what you're saying, and I'm going, my brother Z says, Shelly, you got to eat this way to get healthier. And I fall off because I was like, sometimes I don't think. And with what you say, I'm going, oh, my gosh, he sounds like my brother Z. And my brother Z, he always says, Shelly, you got to eat like this. You got to eat more. You got to drink water and all this such. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. Am I always reminded of my brother Z? So with what you're saying is true, because he every week I see him, he says exactly what you're saying. I'm going, you are absolutely right. You are 100% right. I'm not going to argue with that there. And when you brought up another thing, too, and I wanted to ask you this because, you know, you are a teacher and such. I saw something on YouTube, and I was like, it kind of blew me away. And, you know, you talk about the chi and such. And it was a master, and it showed about, you know, all these students. It was a seminar, and they were all in their gi and stuff, and it was like, he had the chi, and he was, like, putting in his hands, and I trained in Tai Chi for a year, and I know exactly, you know, you put your hand in a circle, and it can build up it in your hand.
Right.
And when he pushed it, he actually pushed someone, and people saying, oh, this is all crap. But he tried to show, you know, he put a sheet up, and he put people in a line, and they had their back towards it, and he did it towards the sheet, and the people actually moved a little bit. And is this something, you know, can you tell our viewers more about that, about the chi? Is that possible? I mean, you know, with what I'm talking about, right? It almost reminds you of something when you hear about, like, Dragon Ball Z and all this stuff. Now, what exactly is chi, to let our listeners know?
Chi is what's called the intrinsic energy that's inside our body. The energy flows throughout the universe. Now, there's only so much energy in our body that we can use. You know, even especially after you're healing somebody, you can drain yourself. So we have to use what's called the universal chi, which is called the heavenly or the positive energy. So that's why everybody looks upwards toward heaven, and that's what we call the heavenly energy. So we use channel that energy into our body to another person, into other people for do the healing. Now, there's a negative part that comes from the earth. So that's what's where people start talking about the black magic or the black art or the black power. The heavenly energy is the white power or the positive. And so you use that for good, you know. So that's the yin and the yang. But there's also there's energy in between the top and the bottom, which we call neutral energy. So we have the positive, the neutral, and the negative. So when you see certain masters when they're fighting, you have to imagine these hands now. You have both palms facing toward the opponent, but like toward the ground. They're using negative energy to try to fight somebody, trying to hurt somebody. The good teachers, their palms are facing the ceiling. They're using positive energy. They're not going to hurt you. They're going to manipulate you and control you. So there's a difference. And there's other ones that will use one facing the positive and one facing the bottom. So they use neutral energy. So you have to imagine seeing people fighting that position. And that's how they can generate the energy, the power. So this person you're talking about, you have to see if they were using what's called, they were probably using a combination of the two energies, the positive and the negative, and had both palms facing toward his opponent. So he's gathering energy and shooting it out toward a body. The chi is movements. You can make the energy move and move objects also. You can, my trick I used to do is through a solid door, I'll make somebody stand, put their chest against there or their back or something. I'll hit the door on this side and I'll leave a palm print on their body on the other side. So my chi went through the door and I popped the body.
Man, I would be like, can you try that on me, Douglas? People think I'm crazy because I want to experience these things. And it's like when I was training back in the dojo, right, back at home in Boston, I learned from Z now, you know, it's basic stuff. But when I was in the dojo, I wanted to learn. I told the guys, throw me around. And they thought I was nuts. And I says, I want to learn because I want to see exactly how it is. And they're like, well, you can really get hurt. But I says, no, I want to know the effects of what, you know, what it feels like to be thrown around. And I actually had someone do, you know, the two finger. You can hit someone with a finger. And it wasn't all the way, and I won't say who did it, but I says, I want to know about the two-finger, and I rarely want to experience this. Well, we're not going to do it the full force, and they just tapped me, and it was somewhere on my body, and I fell. And I was like, whoa. And so stuff like what you tell me, I'd be like, oh, yeah, try it on me, because that's how crazy I am. I'd be like, try this on me. I was like, yeah, Douglas, I want to feel that. And it's like people like,
oh, yeah,
you're really nuts. And I'd be like, no, I'd really want to see how the effect is. Not that I want to get hurt. But I want to have the experience to understand, because when people are talking about things with what you're saying, with chi and stuff, I says, I want to experience, because then I really want to know. Because when you're there and doing it in the shoes and having that effect, I go, well, now I understand. Because you can watch anything on films and stuff, but when you actually feel it, you're like, okay, I get it.
That's right. That's what happened to one of my first experience with my teacher, Rod Wong. He tapped one of my classmates in the head with just one finger, and he dropped to the ground. I laughed. He said, boy, you don't believe. I said, no, I don't. He said, come up here. I said, okay, because I wanted to feel it. I saw that hand come so slow at my head. It was like you taking a hammer, hit a block of wood. That's how it sounded inside my head. I hit that ground so fast. I mean, he just barely touched me. And he said, you come over and rub medicine, boy, before you die. I said, oh, my goodness, man. Start rubbing that stuff on there. After that, I never doubted that old man. He was only like 5'6", you know, 135 pounds. But that old man had some, oh, it was crazy, some of the energy and the strength he had. So I never doubted him after that, you know. So I became one of his little top students. I always hung around him, you know, always did everything for him, you know, swept the floor, did this, whatever was necessary. I said, you don't have to ask, oh, I can do it. I said, no, Sifu, it's fine. I'll do it for you. It's my duty, you know. I said, I just want to keep learning. And then he started showing me how to break bricks, you know, these big old cinder blocks.
Really?
And he just barely tapping them, such as start smashing over. He had me try to, my hand was hurt, bleeding. There's no way. And he just laughed. He said, yeah, you got to practice more. But, I learned eventually. But, man, that man was amazing what he did. I mean, it was crazy. Well, see, in fact, you were talking about Jim Kelly. He came up to our studio during that time period to learn right before which I'm called Enter the Dragon. So he's learning kung fu, doing some stuff, and he started taking guys and he started posing pictures, putting guys on the ground, putting his foot on top of it, and my teacher Art Wong wouldn't do anything, and one of my other teachers happened to be there from Henderson Park, the guy who taught me most of my fighting, said, "Take that guy out, man. So don't let him be shown." So I had to fight Jim Kelly. So
no
I taught him a new. I taught him a new asshole. Then I tore him up with those things. You know, there's certain things I had to play safe because they told me not to hurt him. I said, "Oh, damn, man! I said I can't." He said, "No, you just take him out, but don't hurt him." So I had to be really nice to him. But you know, I handle him, threw him around, do all this kind of stuff. But yeah, at the beginning, he had the attitude. Well, you know, because he was doing what was called Okinawan style at that time period when he came up to trying to learn kung fu. And so, you know, we got to know each other after that. But, you know, before that time period, it was just that he's in his karate uniform, his black belt on, and making our students in front of his banner up on top, you know, our studio. And it made it look bad. So that's when my other teacher got upset and said, "Take care of him." I said, "Okay." I said, "I wouldn't do anything on my own." But, you know, they said, "Go do it." I said, "Okay, fine." So, yeah, so that's where I met Jim Kelly way back in the days. So yeah,
wow.
He passed away, so that was something else. You know, there's quite a few. But we had the whole cast come out to the Martial Art History Museum about 4 or 5 years ago. And we were given all the different awards. So mine was John Saxon. So I got to present an award to him from the History Museum, to him. And, you know, and they had Anna Capri was up there before she passed away. Bruce Lee's brother, Robert, came. All the different writer Robert Kloss, and you know, there was we had about 8 or 9 people from the cast there, so it was pretty nice. So, you know, that's years later, you know, after End of the Dragon, you know, been on such a super hit, you know, all around from the martial art world. So, yeah, I was sorry to hear that he passed away too, you know. Yeah, that's one of those other stories, you know. Like, yeah, so
yeah.
Something else.
So did you ever meet, besides Jim Kelly, did you ever meet, I'm sorry, forgive me, I was trying to multitask, and I put on my Facebook page another great that had passed away, I think it's Master Liu, L-I-U. I was calling him Gordon, but I meant to say Master, so I was like,
Gordon is his Americanized name, yes. Yeah, he played in a lot of different movies. I didn't know he passed away. He passed away, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
I knew his teacher passed away this week, you know. His teacher passed away earlier this week. And I didn't know Gordon, because I know he was still in the hospital, but he had a massive stroke. So he was slowly recovering from that. And that was just up to a couple of days ago. And I just heard that while he had a stroke, you know, somebody got in there, took all his money and all his power of attorney and all this stuff, and then he just got a return a couple of days ago. So they've been fighting that forever because his family was going in there. His ex-wife had another guy come in and beat him up while he was in the hospital, which is kind of crazy. And all the kids are coming in there asking, begging for money. That's all they want is money from him. But, you know, they want to take over his power attorney so they can funnel his money. And, you know, it was crazy. But, yeah, he suffered a massive stroke. And it was in a bad way for a long time. Then he was, they say, slowly on a road to recovery. But, yeah, I didn't hear about him yet.
Cancer. Am I getting the stories mixed up? Because I thought they said he was battling cancer.
No, well, that might have been his teacher that you're talking about.
Because the one that I was, it was, is his last name, it spells L-I-U.
Yeah, they both have the same name. His teacher is Ling Lao, I forget what it is. And if you probably see a picture of him with Gordon, they're probably talking about his teacher. But that's what they've been putting out the last couple of days. And Gordon was one of his favorite, you know, a famous student that did a lot of the movies. But the teacher, he just passed away. He's 76 years old, and they're having a funeral about 2 days from now in Hong Kong. And that's probably who you're talking about. It was his teacher that passed away. As far as I know, Gordon hasn't passed away yet. I haven't heard anything from my student because he has the website set up for Gordon right now. And I haven't seen anything come my way there yet. Yeah, I'm checking now to see.
Yeah, because I was like, I try to like be respectful, and the guys were ragging on me where Johnny Ray has a,
yeah,
a site, one of the forums, right? So I know, I mean, I know better, but I was like, I looked at a picture and I thought Nasty Lou worked with Jackie, right? So I thought Johnny put a picture of Jackie up in the left hand side because he kept updating the picture, and he was like bending his legs, is all in white with the panda, going, is that Jackie Chan? And Johnny's going, Shelly, they don't all look alike. And I'm like, what? I says no. I just thought he looked like I was getting ragged on all day long, and I'm like, oh no.
Okay. I just wanted my
picture. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it was a picture of him and his teacher. Okay, so it's Gordon Liu. He's still alive. His teacher, last name, they have a spelling here, L-I-U also. So that's his teacher that just passed away. And so he has two different last names. He spells it L-A-U, Lau, and then they have, in parentheses, L-I-U, and there's other pronunciation of his name. He just died of cancer. He just lost a long battle with cancer. So that's who passed away, his teacher. Gordon's still
around.
Okay,
because I was trying to figure out, you know, it was very confusing because it's like, okay, trying to understand, it's like, you know, I'm very respectful, but it's like, I talk funny anyway. I talk funny with a Boston accent, so I try to pronounce it as best as I can, and it's like not trying to be disrespectful, but I'm just very sad because, you know, I'm trying to learn the greats from the time I grew up, and I was Kung Fu Dub Theater, and that's when I first started really watching stuff. I didn't understand the dubbing because I was a kid. I go, why does not the mouth match the words? And I didn't understand it. And Kung Fu Theater, these guys are the people who I started watching things, and it was just very weird. People understand. If people caught me watching the Kung Fu Theater, they'd be like, that's really weird, why are you watching that? And I was just very fascinated, and it's before you came on, I tried to give a little bit respect to these guys, and did you ever meet Master Lou, the
no
one that
I never met
away?
Him no I never got to meet him. No, he was in Hong Kong. Never had the chance to meet the guy. Yeah, he taught a lot of different people. He was technical advisor to a lot of the top Shaw Brothers movies. And he was famous for his system, his Hung Gao system, and that's what he taught. And you go on YouTube, I mean, he's got thousands of stuff on there, how he's training all the different actors, how he's in the movies himself. So he's fighting a lot of these guys. He's trained them how to do the fight scene, but he's also in the fight scene. But that guy is very good. So, his funeral's in a couple of days. I just heard that from one of my friends in Hong Kong, who's one of his students. And so he's trying to have all the students come into Hong Kong now and get prepared for the funeral, and they're going to play security and all this kind of stuff. And I just couldn't make it there. Yeah, so he's a very famous guy, one of the top stunt guys in the business, for sure, in Chinese business, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, I mean, I don't just consider in Chinese, I consider anywhere in the world. I just like,
you know,
a lot of the Asian action films I've seen, I've been very blessed because I didn't even know. You want to hear how naive I was, and like, you know, even with Donnie Yen, I had no clue. I was from Boston, didn't know he like grew up in Boston.
Yep.
I did not know that until I did not know things, half the things I know, and you know, until I actually moved out of Boston. Is that sad or what? It's like, I don't know. I didn't know. And it's like, people are like, oh, Shelly. And it's like getting to meet people like you and other people, you know, getting to know, and you guys are educating me, and I feel happy, you know, learning more because, you know, stuff that, you know, like, I used to watch, you know, like Hercules and Xena. I had no idea you trained them, helped them out, and, you know, Jason Scott Lee from one of my favorite films. I mean, I want you to talk more about other films, but it's just amazing that the stuff, your work, I've watched my whole life. And then, you know, one of my top favorite films, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, where I've mentioned before, I just got the title for a film. I'm doing dishwasher from that scene where his boss sits him down and says, you know, long story short, you know, if you don't pick a good, you know, a good path, I could always use a good dishwasher. And I got the title of my film from that film. And besides, you know, Kevin Sorbo, Lucy Lawless, you know, Jason Scott Lee, what else have you done? What films or anything else you've done in the business? Who else have you helped out along the way?
Oh, I don't know any in particular. There's so many because that's associated with you know, James and Albert and Steve teaching all the guys, because I get my hands in. Because a lot of times when they're working on the set, they don't like to train anybody. You know, they send us to the studio, and I take care of them from there. So there's so many of their people that they work with on their movie set that I help train. So, you know, there's quite a few of them. You know, some of them are not big names. Some are big names. You know, I can't even think of half these guys' name now. They're just a mind blank right now. But one of the guys that played in Mortal Kombat, that was called Johnny Cage.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, yeah. So he was doing another movie called, I believe it was Spy Game. It only lasted like 5 weeks before they took it off the air. But
really?
I trained him for that part. You know, because I already knew he already had a martial art background. You know, he was into wushu style already prior to that time. But they had him, so they had him come and another female, and I can't think of her name, but she could not do any action and it showed on film. It was terrible. At that time was Jeff Imada and Albert Leon working on it. And they couldn't do anything with her, so they sent her over to me. So I tried my best with her. You know, I got her looking half decent, but it was still nothing great. You know, nothing more like a Lucy Lawless or anything like that. So it came pretty bad, and they took it off the air after that. It just she couldn't do it. So I don't know how they picked her or anything. I mean, she could not listen or did not understand. I mean, I gave her the simplest concepts, and sometimes it just don't work. And so that was one of them right there. And like I said, it only lasts 5 weeks, and they took the whole series off the air. They put so much money into it. It was for ABC at that time, you know, one of the weekly spy movie type thing that was going, you know, supposed to be a big hit, you know, with Jeffrey Molly putting all the action behind and Albert doing all the fight scenes and all that. But it didn't happen. So, you know, that was a failed project. But so those guys there, and I work with, help Steve with Rucker Howard for Blind Fury. We you know, different people that got into my art, because they taught them different things, like James Wood learned different things. What was that? Oh, I can't even think of that helicopter movie back. What is that one?
Was he jumping out of the helicopter? Steven was jumping out of the helicopter?
No, there's another one. I'm trying to think of the one. They're flying the helicopter from a scene. I can't think of his name. Ernest Borgnine was one of the co-hosts.
Oh,
and I can't think of the young guy. What's that?
Airwolf, Dan Michael Vincent?
Yeah. I think it was Airwolf. That's the one. So a lot of those guys learned a lot of my techniques also. Gary Busick learned stuff from us. There's so many different actors that learn indirectly from me, you know, that the guys are training for all the different movies, you know. And so I got to work with a lot of different ones, but, you know, and a lot of them are just background actors and stuff, you know, no big names or anything like that. But and then we used to hold seminars for all that to teach them all the different action acting and stuff like that. So when I had the studio, that's what we were doing. We were giving all different type of seminars doing that type of thing, so people can come in there and learn about the business, how it worked and everything else, you know, learn about reaction time, how to fall, how to, you know, take a trampoline jump and flip in the air and all this good stuff. So we train quite a few different people like that.
Hmm.
And,
well, I got a couple things to ask you, like, from me personally. There's two things I was wondering, because, you know, with martial arts, you do have to, you know, you're supposed to, even though you don't like violence and such, it's really strange for me, because I was like, I don't mind someone, you know, getting the hits and getting thrown around. I still have to overcome this thing, especially this one thing that happened I did in the dojo, and I still feel guilty to it this day. When I was in, I was training capoeira, and I was in circle with this girl, and it was just this thing you weren't supposed to do, but it came naturally. I don't know why.
Right.
I pulled a Tony Jaa, and I went up with my elbow, and I hit her on the top of her head, and she fell down, and I was like, I backed away, and I was so scared. I was shaking, and I kind of, like, knocked her out, and she got up. They picked her up, and like, no, it's okay, and ever since then, I've had this overwhelming guilt. And I still think about it. I was like, wow, I'm powerful. And it's kind of almost made me do half where I'm afraid to keep learning about martial arts. And I know it's something I have to get over. I mean, how do you just get over this thing where it's like, I know I could do damage? Do you know, I don't know how to overcome that.
Yeah, it's a psychological thing right now. But you have to realize that you help that person learn also, because they have to learn what a knockout feels like. If you didn't help her to learn that, she would never understand. You can theorize about it all day long until it actually happens. So you got to think about, I helped her. I helped her experience that right there. That's part of learning. So there are going to be injuries when you go out there and fight, when you do certain things. You're going to hurt somebody. As long as you got a good teacher there who can fix them and do everything, continue on. That's just part of learning. So don't feel bad about it. You know, they hit you. You're not going to complain about it. Oh, that's cool. No,
I don't.
That's the way you got to feel about it. The same thing. Goes both ways. It's a two-way street. You know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
because I'm happy-go-lucky, and I just
right.
don't want to, like, you know, another thing, too, is, you get older, and you kind of mellow out and stuff like that, and it's like, and I was talking to my teacher, Z, it's like, I shouldn't do this, where I was like, I don't like to fight. I mean, I love watching the flows of how people, the movements and stuff like that, and I said,
right.
I just don't like to get angry because I can really hurt someone. And it's like, well, you're not
right.
supposed to get the point of being angry. And it's like, because you can be so strong at that point of anger and do damage. And
oh,
that's
yeah.
the thing, another thing I have to overcome. And it's like, those are the two things I'm scared of, because I know what martial arts can do, even with a small hit. But that full force of that anger can come up and go right through a punch, and you could really hurt someone. And I'm trying to overcome that, too. So how can I overcome that where – I don't get a point in my life where I get angry and just step down and bring that energy. How do you overcome that, too?
Yeah, see, but you have to realize when you're in a martial art, you got to expect to be hurt and also to give pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I tell my students. I said, just as long as you're doing a friendly atmosphere here, you're not trying to kill the guy, you hurt the guy, you knock
yeah.
him down, whatever, it's just part of the lesson. They learned about it. That's what I try to teach them. Because if you go out there and you get in a real situation and you're having that thought pattern right now, I don't want to hurt her, I don't want to hurt her, you're not going to go full out with your technique. You're going to get hurt. That's
mm-hmm.
that's in a real life situation. You say, oh, I should have did this. Yeah, you could have, but you didn't do it, but your mind told you not to because I don't want to hurt anybody. You can't do that. You have to go out there when you're in danger. You have to use everything in your mind. You control. That's what they say, controlling your mind, controlling your anger. It's not only controlling your anger, it's controlling the power in your body. How much do I let
mm-hmm.
out? I can kill the guy. I can maim the guy. I can disable the guy. I don't have to kill him. So that's the whole idea. Sure, you hit her on top of the head, you hit the right spot at the right time. You hit
yeah.
the right place at the right time during that time period.
Yeah.
But if you were to deal with anger, yes, you could have killed her. But you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That was the idea. That's what you have to realize. It was part of the learning process. But you got to keep that in your mind, because, like I said, you get in a real-life situation and you hold back, you're in trouble. You're going to get hurt, you're going to get raped, you're going to get whatever. That's why you learn it to protect yourself. It's not that you're going out there looking for trouble, but
no,
if trouble
no.
comes, you want to be able to use it to
yeah.
keep yourself safe. That's all. So that's where you have to get over that. I know first few times people get over, oh, I hurt that person, I did that. You know, but after a while, they start realizing what they need to do. Because you have to be able to control your energy during that time period when you're fighting for real. But, you know, until you get out there on the streets, it's a whole different atmosphere, a whole different way of thinking than when you're on the streets and in the classroom. Classroom, you're still in a controlled environment. See, a lot of people
yeah.
have never gone on the street or had real fights and stuff like that. They don't know what it's all about. Me,
well,
I've had my share.
Well, I had two instances where it was just like, I don't know if this happens to you. Like, I know you can talk about the street stuff, but two instances happened to me, and it was during when I was doing a dinner theater show when I was at a club. And I just zoned out because it was more like protecting. It wasn't necessarily for me, but it was like one instance, I was at a club, and I was in an alleyway, and I was with my two girlfriends. And I've never sworn at them, and the music was really loud. And I saw guys, they were fighting each other, but the brawl was coming towards me. And all I could think about, I told them to get the F behind me. And I never
mm-hmm.
swore at them. I stood there, like, ready. Like, I just went into this zone. It was like
right.
this protective thing. I don't know what it was. It just clicked. And
mm-hmm.
nothing happened. They were like, I was just ready. They weren't fighting me, but it was coming towards me. And I was ready to step in and just,
right.
like, I don't know what I was going to do. And you just,
mm-hmm.
Is it a zone? Do you go into this zone or something? I don't know how to explain it. Like, another thing happened, it happened. Is it a zone that you go into when this happens?
Yep. But you're alert, because that's what the martial arts teach you, to be alert, to be prepared. You're prepared. You don't know what to expect, but you're expecting something. If nothing happens, great. If something happens, you're ready to react. And that's what the whole martial art is, to teach you to react to certain things. It's not that you have to react to attack the person, but you can react by defending yourself or moving your people along the side so you get out of the way of danger. But that's what we're trying to do, is teach you alertness. There's a lot of people walk into places, they don't see this person come out of the shadow, they don't see the person next to them or behind them. They're not aware. You was well aware ahead of you, of yourself. You saw the danger in front of you. Your mind went to protection mode. You was ready. You was alert. So that's what the martial art teaches you, and that's the good thing. So you could use it if you need to, but if you didn't need to, you didn't have to show them. They didn't know if you were going to kick or punch or jump up and whatever you were going to do at that time period, but you were ready. That's all it is teaching you to be aware. So that's the good part. That's the good part.
Yeah. And you said that, you're like, I think you were going to say something about, if you want to, you don't have to talk about this. I never want to make my guests ever feel uncomfortable. I think you were going to mention about a fight you have gotten into.
Many fights. So my younger days, I got in mutual fighting. fist fight, weapon fight, gun fights, you name it, I've been in it. So there's not much that I haven't done. A lot of times I've gone in there using my techniques to see if it works or not, you know, and one or two guys is no big thing. I used to fight 10, 12 people at a time. It didn't bother me. I zipped right in there, and I start chasing guys, because I start dropping six or seven guys so fast, they start turning and running away, and I start chasing them. You know, it got to that point that I got into the zone. Nothing bothers me. Everything went in slow motion. I can see the points I want. And a lot of people, when they're fighting, they're taking so long on one person, you know, 10, 15 seconds on one person, if you're fighting more than one, that's too long. And I'm only taking one, two split seconds. I'm going from here, I'm bouncing to like a pinball machine, going from this ball, hit this, hit this post, and keeps going. And that's where I was going. And that's why I've always fought that way, that nobody knows where I'm going. I don't even know where I'm going. But everything is computerized in my mind. Who's the closest one? Who's the biggest one? Where the weak points are? What I'm going to hit? What I'm going to kick? What I'm going to drop? I'm going to use this person as a shield. All that calculates into my mind within a split second. So this is why the martial art training helps you do that. So I've gone to many places where I had to use the art. And a lot of times it's not that I'm being aggressive. I had to go protect other people. These guys are jumping these three girls, you know, about eight, nine guys. I said, that ain't right. Let me jump in there. And all of a sudden I'm involved in a fight, you know, but hey, I'm taking them out. That's the whole deal. And a lot of times I'm doing it, you know, I barely get touched at all. But I'm always moving. See, a lot of guys, they fight, they like they're doing a fighting stance in the classroom. It's not like that. You got to be moving at all times. Once I hit this guy, my footwork's taking me somewhere else. Hit this guy, I'm going somewhere else. I'm just progressively going. Never stand still as a standing target, because it's easier to hit, especially if somebody pulls out a gun or something. So, you know, I've had my share of fights. Real deal ones, you know. So it's crazy. So I've done different things where the federal people hire me in to go to certain areas to take guys out. You know, they say, just take this guy out. This is it. There's too many people in there. We can't use our guns. So go in there. Can you do this? I say, yeah, no problem. I'll go out and knock them out. I get them close enough. I'll take their temple. I'll take their neck. I'll choke them down. I do whatever is necessary at the time. And a lot of times you got to make sure, even if the guy's got a gun, I've taught these guys, even when I teach my, you know, people that I train in law enforcement, they don't even know how to do it. I teach them how to just walk by a guy, just rub your hand right against his jacket, and you can feel where the holster straps are at. All this stuff is on the right side, underneath, is along the side of the hip, is on the underneath the armpit. You know, there's different ways that they have different holsters where the guns are trapped. So once I feel that, boom, I just lock their elbow right against their gun. They can't do anything. Then I take them down. So there's all kind of ways. Wow, how did you do that stuff? So I've taught many people how to do that, but they never realize what is necessary. I see the guy get his hand into his holster, grabbing that gun, and all I got to do is pin that hand in there. The gun is still pointing down. He's not coming out, and it's never going to get out. So I drop him right from there. So you have to know how to do all this life and death situation. So, you know, I taught many people how to do it, and they always thank me for it. So, like I said, some of my tapes that I made before, the FBI group was using up in San Francisco, and they always called me and thanked me, emailed me, said, man, the techniques work great, man. We took this guy out, took this guy, all the stuff you showed on the video, and it works great. I said, yep, thank you. That's my main concern, is for them, for their safety. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad you brought up the thing about the gun, because here's another thing about guns and martial arts, because people always like to be, you know, smarter than anybody that's, like, you know, a master of martial arts. Now, I go to try to explain it, like I said, as best as I can, and people want to be smart asses and stuff like that towards me, because it's a love I know and I respect many different martial arts. Two things. One, the first thing I've got to ask is, you know, people come back and saying, well, a martial artist is never going to be able to stop a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to explain, like, I says, well, if you go watch Ip Man, that type of gun where he actually knocked, you know, the chamber out where he had, like, you know, it was round and he knocked the chamber out of the gun. And people are like, well, I can pull up the gun and I can shoot, you know, faster than a bullet. And I try to explain it's the reflexes, where if someone's smart enough, before the reflexes, if they know and they're well aware, they can actually act faster than the person pulling the gun out. And then people are, well, if I pull the trigger, you're not going to stop a bullet. I says, well, there's probably people out there that can move faster than the bullet. And they go, no, there isn't. I mean, do you think that's possible if someone gets shot at? I mean, I know the Matrix and stuff, and they show all this stuff. Do you think it's too impossible? Have you ever heard a story of anybody, you know, moving faster than a bullet?
No, but the main thing is when you see them point the gun wherever it was, that certain area, you know where the bullet's going to come. So that's why you have to figure out which movement you're going. Are you going to the right, to the left of it, going below it, or are you going to twist out of the way? There's all kinds of different ways. You know, the bullet's only going to hit if you stand there. That's what I say. If you're a standing target and they shoot at you and you're not moving, you're going to get hit. But that's where your training comes in. Like I said, if they're 5 or 6 feet away with the gun, it's pretty hard to get in and do anything against him or try to go disarm him. Because with me, if I have my gun, I step back a couple of feet, so I make sure that you got to take 2 or 3 steps. By the time you take 2 or 3 steps, I can shoot 2 or 3 caps into your knees, something somewhere. So that's what I do. I'm not going to try to kill him. I'm going to knock his legs out, you know. But most cops are taught to kill on the first shot. Me, I'm just trying to injure him. I'm not trying to kill him right off, you know. So there's a difference between what I would do and what a cop would do. But they have to rely on protecting themselves. Me, I can still go in there and restrain him and everything else. You know, once he can't stand and do anything, you can take care of him. But you can tell where the gun's going to. Now, if he's up close, behind your back, next to your head, yes, you have your reflex is going to teach you how to move away from where the gun's aimed at. If you stand there, of course, the bullet's going to hit you. But if you only move 2 or 3 inches to a certain area out of the way of you know, being a target, you can get away with it. But you got to know what is your follow-up technique after that. Because a lot of guys will move out the way, they freeze. They don't go toward him. They don't disarm him. They don't lock him up. Then that's when you're in trouble. They'll shoot you again. That's when they get their second and third chance. So the minute I move out the way, I'm moving toward him at the same time. I'm trying to lock that arm, knock that arm out the opposite direction, trap it, break it, do something, twist the gun around back toward him. There's so many different things. But, again, you have to practice to do it. You can't just do it on the whim and say, oh, I saw it on TV. I guess I can be able to do it. No, it don't work that way. Practice makes perfect. Okay? You got to be able to. You can practice being killed each time. You know, you can be perfect in that, but that's not what you want to do. That's what I said. Practice.
Yeah,
you got to practice doing the technique in different situations. You know, you never know. If they're coming from the right, from the left, if it's two guys with guns from two different angles, they're doing a crossfire, what are you going to do? So that's what, you know, you have to come up with all these different scenarios. But half the time, people aren't going to get into that type of fighting where there's gunfight or anything. Hopefully you never do. But if you do, you got to have the knowledge. You've got to remember, no matter if it's a gun, if it's a bow and arrow, it's a knife, whatever, if you're a standing target, it's going to hit you. Move. That's why I tell people, move. You know, but which way do you move? That's the hard part. That's where training comes in. That's where your teacher has to show you different ways of doing it.
And then another thing that I wanted to bring up, too, because, I mean, I know you would, myself, but it's stuff that I've seen learning about. you know, martial arts, and everybody has their favorite and what they're learning. The thing I never got, and I still remember this, where when I first, you know, with capoeira, learning in that, a lot of people would come at me and saying, well, that's not a real martial art. And I'm sitting here going, okay, have you trained in it? Do you know what it's about? And I'm thinking that capoeira, which was, you know, it started in Africa and transcended in Brazil, and it was disguised as a dance. If something is disguised as something else, that's got to be a really great martial art. And I know it's a really hard martial arts, but I once had this, I was actually on set at a bar, and this guy comes up to me, I'll never forget this, and, you know, I'm a white core, which is beginning. I moved up a couple chords, but at the time, you know, he was like, oh, you know capoeira, right? And I go, well, yeah, I'm kind of training it. And I was really proud because I was, like, learning. And he says, I think we should step outside because I want to show you my Filipino martial art. And I was like, and he goes, I'm a black belt. And I was like, I bet I can take you down in no problem whatsoever. And I, like, looked at him and going, what? And I was like, no. And he's like, he kept pestering me. And the funny thing is, a bouncer overheard this guy, and he ended up throwing him off set. Like in a movie set, and I was so flabbergasted that, first of all, if someone's a black belt and anything else and coming to me and challenging me, and I'm a white cord or white belt, and it's kind of like, when I first started getting into it and talking about capoeira a lot, I had a lot of people sending me really nasty messages, and I just laugh about the internet, you just like whatever, but people saying, well, capoeira is not a real martial art, and it's the worst martial art in the world, and I'm like, well, I don't look at any other martial art. I mean, what do you think about people like that, and what do you think about capoeira?
Oh, capoeira is a very good art. I work with a lot of different people in that, you know, where we use exchange different techniques. You know, I know quite a few the instructors in that system. But, you know, people always talk about, they'll talk about all arts, not just capoeira. They'll talk about karate. They'll talk about kung fu. They'll talk about judo, jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. How can you use that? If I got a gun, none of that stuff going to work. You know, that's the whole thing. They think of one finger technique. That's all they need. So those people, I just put them along the side. Whatever you believe in, that's you. We're never gonna make you believe in the martial art or let you understand. You have your opinion, great. You know, until it comes to blows where you're attacking me or something, I'm gonna show you what the martial art can really do. But other than that, I just ignore them all the time. You know, I don't have time for those people and their small minded. You know, they don't think. They don't have an open mind. They can't learn. That's why you look at the character. What are they like? How are they like in the rest of their life? Are they just that small-minded in what they're thinking? You know, if a person with an open mind, they're willing to accept everything, and they're willing to learn, to understand what you're talking about. They're not going to go out there and challenge you. You know, what legal martial black belt is going to go out there and challenge a beginner? Yeah, well, I got this. Of course, I hope the hell you can beat me up. You got that many years in it. But with that many years, you should be humble. Once you come out here, let me teach you a few more techniques. Maybe you can add to your capoeira to make it stronger. That's what people don't understand.
Yeah.
I go down. When I tell people, when I meet them, I say, don't forget what martial arts you come. I'm not never tell you forget what you learn. Let me teach you to add to what you already know.
Yeah,
because if you
exactly.
forget what you learn, how can you ever defeat that style that you learn? You spent all that time to learn that, then I tell you to forget it, and then somebody comes with that and that technique. So I used to know that, but I don't remember it anymore. So that's crazy. All the martial arts I learned, I still have. It's still in my mind. It's still there. So what if you come, oh, that's from Shotokan. Oh, that's from Goju style. Oh, that's from Jiu-Jitsu. That's from there. I'm not unfamiliar with it. So when you come with it, fine, I can counter that. Cool. I have something else. And then I have my new system. I know I can stop it because I already know how that technique's going to come. What angle? What's an easier way for me to defeat it? So that's why I tell people, they always say, well, you got to empty your cup to take more knowledge. I said, no, get an extra cup. Don't empty that cup. You can carry 12 cups of knowledge with you. You don't have to have just one cup. That's what people don't understand.
Yeah.
I tell them that. Everybody be laughing. I say, yes. Go for knowledge. Knowledge, you can always use more knowledge. You don't have your limit on knowledge. Why do you stop yourself just on one thing? There's more than one art out there. Learn everything you can. Martial art is a whole field. It's a whole family out there. It's everything. You got to learn it. That's why if there's only one language, English, what happened to French, German, and everything else? It's still a language. Learn it if you need it. That's what people don't understand. They think they're so closed-minded. That's what I tell people. I say, you can't learn. How can you be a true martial artist if you're not open and trying to learn, to better yourself, to understand it? But not everybody understands grappling. You're a stand-up artist. You fight this, but somebody takes you to the ground. What are you going to do? You don't know how to counter. You don't know how to get out of it. That's what people don't understand. You have to learn different things. Supplement your own art. Learn. But there are certain things in certain arts that teach you, but you can't do it because you're over the limit or you have certain handicaps. I can't spin in the air like that, what I do now, you know, in the old days. I got to take into consideration my age now on what my skill level is, but I can still handle myself. So that's what you got to look at. So, yeah, there's a lot of bad martial artists out there, but there's a lot of good ones too, a lot of good ones. Because right now, I'll be going to San Diego soon to do another seminar, and it's a different style. They're doing a different karate style, and they want me to come down and do a seminar to teach them what the Chinese art looks like so they can add to their system to understand what it looks like, what kung fu is. And so I've been going to different schools like that also. They're very open about it, but they want to learn more. They want to add to their knowledge. But they always hear me tell me, get that extra cup. Get another cup of knowledge. Don't just stop on one.
I'll have to make a, what is it called, a mem out of that, what you just said, or you'll have to post on my, you know, cup of knowledge, add a cup.
Okay.
Keep adding the cup. I'm going to have to remember that or post it on my Facebook wall, because by the time I get off of here in another, like, we've got another, like, about 45 minutes, I'll probably forget what you say, so it's like my focusing. I got to focus, and it's like, I love what you say, and, you know, hearing you, and it's like, what is a breath of fresh air is, because when I first got into martial arts, another thing, too, and you got to think this is nuts, but I know better now. When I first started getting into it in training, the guys that were interesting, I swear to God, they would be like so mad. And like guys that I dated, and they would say, like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing, why do you want to do it in films and such like that? It's not normal. And it's like, I just sit there and wonder why, like, guys, like, I've had guys send messages to me. And another thing, especially, I don't know why, it's because, like, I'm American, but, you know, I am Caucasian and stuff, and talking about certain things, getting messages from big white guys threatening me, and I'm going, or like my ex is saying, you know, saying it's not normal. And it's like, I just wonder, is it the male insecurity? Do they think it's normal? What is your take on that? I mean, now I know better than to be around guys like that, but what do you think it was? Were they scared or something?
Yeah, a lot of the male ego, they don't want the female better than them. They know something, specialized art that is, they can put them in their place, you know. But for me, I never had that fear. That's why even all the females come to see me. I train them the same way I teach my guys. I try and make them as strong as possible. I could care less if they can beat me up. That's great. That's what I want to develop my art, that you be stronger than me. That is my purpose. That's why my wife is so good, you know.
Yes, I was going to say that.
I taught her so well. You know, I can't play. I can't, you know, just play around with her. I have to go for real. I have to try to kill her. That's the only way I can fight it. So that's why I avoid her. I said, forget it. Just go away. Go fight somebody else. I cannot do it. But if I have to fight her, I have to go for real. But she's that good. I trained her. I taught her no fear. And she's small.
Really?
She's only like 5'2", you know, but I taught her all the different way of angling, being aggressive, how to get in there, take the person down. She fight guys 6'2", 6'3", she has no problem. She gets in there and just takes her.
Oh, kind of woman.
Yeah.
You don't mind me asking you about questions about your wife, because she sounds so cool.
No.
I mean, how did you, would you be able to tell me how you met your wife?
Yeah, well, she originally is from Idaho. She read about me in a magazine there.
In
Inside Kung Fu, they read an article on me, and she brought a group down to Los Angeles to visit different schools. They went to Danny and Santos to see what the JKD school was about. They went to my teacher's Cheryl Lou, and find out what the internal energy and chi and meditation was about. They could visit my school. They visited a bunch of schools. And so they eventually came by my school, and I talked to them and showed them some stuff, and I took them to Sherry Lou since they wanted to go there. I said, well, he's one of my teachers. I'll take you in there, introduce you to him, and show. That's the other aspect I do also. I do the internal. It's not just the physical art. And from there, you know, they watched all my people, and, you know, I had James and Albert and all, everybody there, you know, we're just flying through the sky and doing all everything you think about, you know. We had our own show going on at that time period. But she liked it, and she moved all the way down, 900 miles down here to start taking lessons. And she was one of my students first before we got involved and got married and had our three kids, you know. So, yeah. But, yeah, I taught it.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. See, my system is based on a female system, okay? That's why I look at it. My own White Lotus system is based on that. Because I try to teach where you don't have to have power to use it. You have to have knowledge, the knowledge of principle, leverage, and everything else that will work for you. But I use a lot of these techniques. My technique is so soft. They said, how the hell can you use that, you know? I said, I can. I'm moving you, ain't I? I said, the same thing. So the female will not have the same energy or the same muscle structure or the body size of a male. So you have to learn how to maneuver another person. That's what I teach them. So I said, well, my body size, just think, I'm using less force than anything. I'm still knocking over. If I add a little bit more up power into it, the male power into it, you're going to be dead. So that's why I said, I don't need all that extra energy. So that's why I try to teach them. That's all those guys are amazed, but I don't use hardly any energy when I hurt somebody to displace them or knock them over. So that's why I try to teach them. It's all principle and leverage. You don't need all that. So that's why I try to teach the female. But when they go through my training program, my exercise program, my physical thing, it's hard. I mean, it's downright dirty. I mean, I'll be killing you every way I can think of. But your body is so strong, so well conditioned, so well tuned that you can handle anything. You're not afraid of anybody. You have enough confidence to go up there and take care of business. And that's the way it should be.
Wow. She sounds like my kind of woman, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, she's a great teacher.
I've seen her because when I went on your website, and it was like your school, and it showed a bunch of people, and I saw your wife. I was like, man, I think I'd be afraid of her because I'm like 5'8". I'm very tall, so it's like, you know, I was like, man, she'd be able to take me down in one sweep.
Oh, yeah. She's something else. We're starting to teach Nick Cannon. He came in last Thursday. My daughter brought him in, and he wanted to take privates and wanted to learn kung fu. But he was a black belt in taekwondo in his younger days, and he did boxing and stuff. Now he wanted to learn something different. So my wife took him through the beginning of the kung fu, you know, showed him all the different things. That guy was shaking so much within the first 15 minutes. Doing those stances and everything else and learning all the different techniques. And he said, whoa, this is so, you know, it's hard on the body and the mind and my muscles and everything. I said, oh, yeah. I said, but do you feel how it's going to go? He said, yeah, man, I love this. I'm going to teach my kids this, you know. So I said, good. I said, all you got to do is just keep practicing in front of the kids. They'll learn to imitate, and they'll start doing the same thing. Because that's why I started my son at 6 months old, my oldest daughter at 3 months old, my youngest daughter 2 months old. And I got videos of my daughter when she's only like 2 years old. She just watched everybody, you know, doing things. And then one day she just got them and started doing a kung fu form. Then she started jumping and doing the tai chi set and doing all this just by watching. She hasn't really learned anything formally, the form-wise. But it's just through watching, through osmosis, that she learned all that. So that's how all my kids did it. You know, like I say, when they went to the studio when they were like 1 month old and they're allowed to go to the public, told all the guys, no baby talk, everything is adult talk. Talk to them straight like an adult. So they always been raised that way. So they can control themselves. They can get along with people. They have confidence in anything they want to do. And so that's what I told me. So I told Nick Cannon, I said, now your kid's almost like 2 years old. They're a little old to start now. I said, I was that and kidding. But go ahead and practice. Like, if you want to bring them down, bring them down. And, you know, we can work with them. You show them how myself and Carrie, we train our kids. You know, we got two little sticks, you know, before they could walk, and just have them grabbing. And we pulled them up in a standing position, and you start moving. And they're all walking by 9 months old, you know, without a walker or anything, you know, because their legs are so strong, their arms are so strong, they were so well coordinated. So there's so many different things. And we always told ourselves we're going to put a book out, How to Train Young Kids, but we never did it. So I may have to talk to a few people and go back and try to do that. Yeah. But you can train anybody. The mind is like a sponge, and that's what you do. You start them from young, and they don't know the word no. But a lot of people, when they get a certain age, 4 or 5 years old, you try and get them into martial arts. No, I don't want to do that. I want to do that. I want to play video games. I want to go run around and do this. Well, when they're that young, they don't know the word no. They just understand it's part of their routine. It's like brushing their teeth and eating. So they grew up in the martial arts. So that's one way of doing it. Starting young. That's why everybody asks, how do you get your kids to stay in there? How did they get so good? How did, yeah, well, you got kids too, man. But, you know, you didn't start until 4 or 5 years old. It's a little old. And they know the word no. That's it.
Yeah. And speaking of kids, right? Now, there's a lot of things. Well, me personally, knowing in my childhood, I had bullies, and you know, I didn't have the opportunities that I now as an adult. And it's like going through, you know, because I'm going to be working on a film called Bullied the Film, and it's something that I do take to heart. And I've been in a lot of those kids' places. Couple of questions I had for you. Now, knowing that martial arts is good for self-defense, the thing is, how could you tell a kid where, you know, a lot of kids, a lot of families, they don't have money, and, you know, they want to learn to protect themselves. Just, I mean, what could they do? Because, you know, a lot of families are struggling, and, you know, they have bullies themselves, and they get beat up on a daily basis, and they're embarrassed, and they're afraid.
Right,
and I try to talk to people and saying martial arts is a good thing, and it says, well, we don't have money. So what advice could you give to families and children that are bullied? And if they don't have any money, what could you say to them to kind of maybe give them advice?
Yeah, it's so hard, you know, but not that many people are a lot of the martial arts, I try to tell them, you got to give back to the community. A lot of them try to get grants and stuff so where they can bring students in where they don't have to pay any money, but they're getting paid by their certain grants. But those are so hard to come by. Other ones I always try to give, you know, once in a while in community, I bring them in, I teach an open seminar for different people, you know, for kids or whatever, give an introduction. Hopefully that they'll be able to learn a little something right now, you know, give them a little confidence, especially if a lot of them, you know, being bullied in school. You know, it's like back in the days when we were bullying school is one thing, but now they're getting bullied because they're putting on Twitter, they're putting on Facebook, they're putting all this other stuff that really puts more pressure on the kid. And that's why a lot of them are committing suicide because they can't handle it. And people don't understand that. When they're getting bullied, it's not just one thing the way we were when we were younger. You know, it's one thing. You know, you can just stay away from that person. But now they can put it on the internet, and next thing you know, 500 people out there know about it, which you never met. And everybody knows your problem, and they start picking on you. You know, that's the craziness of it all. But a lot of times I try to tell people that to give back to the community, have different open free sessions that you can bring people in there. And that's what we try to do. And, you know, help once in a while. You know, we can't do it all the time, you know.
But we
do try to give them ideas. But that's the way you have to do it. So that's what we do. You know, or once in a while we would find a good guy that, you know, that's really sincere, really wants to do, okay, once you come here, you clean up the school, sweep the school, do this, and we'll exchange it for lessons, you know. So we do that also. So we try to help out where we can, you know. So, you know, you can't give everybody free lessons. You know, it's a business.
Yeah,
you got to keep going and everything else.
Yeah, you have to, like, advise if there's, like, you know, tutorials on YouTube and stuff. But it's, like, I can totally understand. Like, I've been doing research and stuff and being in the position where I know kids as young as 9 years old are hanging themselves at home. Like, it's like I try to tell people. Because the parents, I watched a film called Bully, and the parents were good parents, and you know the kids, because they're different looking, or if they have glasses and stuff, they're killing themselves.
Right.
And I was like, they're just regular kids to me. And I try to tell them, I says, it's something where when I was little, when I went home, I mean, you know, they didn't have the technology, but I was told when I went home that bullying, I didn't want to fight. I went home, they said it was my fault. The teachers did nothing. Like, when I went to school, teachers did nothing. Neighbors used to watch me, and it's like, I did make it through, and I try to talk because I didn't know about martial arts, but I used to have bullies and get beat up every day, and it's like, I understand where those kids are suffering, you know, and I want to do something, and I just don't know how to go about doing it because I'm not a teacher. I know basic martial arts skills, and it's like, I wish I could point kids in the direction of who to speak to. I try to talk, you know, my brother's here or whatever. It's like, but people always say some sort of excuse, I can't do this or that. And kids are afraid. I mean, how can you reach through kids that are so afraid to talk? You know, how can you get through to them?
Yeah, first of all, you got to find them. That's the whole thing before you even start anything. And if there's some way of like you have like a rec and park community place where you can get a room where you can set up a program. So some things like at the YMCA back in the days when we did it, we didn't charge people much money, like maybe $5 a month or something like that, because we got the room free, and we told them what we were trying to do is just like to do a community project. You know, we're not charging anything. We just want to bring them in to teach them awareness about the martial arts. Same thing as that. You can do a non-bully program. And of course, they're going to like it, but they have to look at the liability they have to go through. So that's another thing you may have to fight, mm-hmm. all the red tapes. But you can always find a place or a room, even a church, that would have an open area that you can start with a church. You can talk to the kids there. They have so many kids going to church. Say, well, what, can I come in here and teach a program about anti-bullying to your kid program? Bring them in. I'm not going to charge them anything. And you just get an idea of what the people are having problems at school. Get them to talk about it. That's the first thing. And then you start, you know, if you get set up a program, I teach them how to do some of the exercise, how to get more confidence behind themselves. And that's what you just start something real small. And that's what you can do. You know, we did that way back in the old days before we had schools and studios and all that stuff. But now that, you know, we're a different level now. So it's a little bit different now. So it's hard because if we try to do it now, go back and do community, people are going to try to sue us because we hurt their kids. We did this. So that's why we have to have a commercial location where we have our insurance that backs us up and everything else. So that's why we have to be careful what we do nowadays. So even when you do teach free, you have to be careful of all the liability and your responsibility. Yeah, so, you know, but everybody's lawsuit crazy. They don't want to work anymore. They want to take what you got.
Bad? I don't know if it's because I come from a different era. I mean, you know, things have happened to me, you know, when I don't sit, I have to sit and sue someone to make some money. I know exactly what you're saying. It's like, it's so sad because it's like, you know, martial arts is all about honor. And for anybody to, like, really think, you know, I mean, hey, I'd be all for it. I'd sign, you know, whatever I want to learn about martial arts. Here, I'm signing this. I'm waiving all rights. If something happens to me, it's on my own. You know, it's on my own thing. I mean, that's just how I am because I want to learn. I mean, that's how it is. But I know what you mean about the lawsuits. It's sad. It's really sad. And, you know,
That's what's so bad about, you know, a lot of schools now. They have that long-term program, sign your life away here for 1, 2, 3 years. But what if you don't like it? You know, you take 1 month. And, I have a lot of kids that they can't stand it after 1 or 2 weeks, you know, and then they want to leave. And that's why I never believe in contract. I've never had contracts since I've been teaching for 40 years. They come month to month. You come 1 month, you leave, goodbye. You know, no responsibility. I'm not going to try to go sue you or take the money. You know, that's why I don't like schools that have those contracts. Because those guys have stayed in for like 3 years. You got an arm and a leg. You sign your life away. For what purpose? If you have a good program, they will continue coming. They will be there. Your parents will get involved. Their other siblings will get involved. They'll bring their cousins. They'll bring everybody. I mean, I got people that I've taught now. They're bringing their grandkids. And when I taught them, you know, so I got generations still coming, you know, and then they're just coming through with it. You know, that's what, if you got a true party out there and people believe in you, they're going to follow you no matter what.
You know, besides martial and stuff, maybe you can answer some questions for me, you know, like the film aspect. Now, you got a really great idea. Now, myself, indie film, you know, such like that and stuff that I've been working on because I'm not a big name. Okay, and it's like you try a Kickstarter and all these things and it seems like it doesn't bring the money in. How can you, if you want to do an indie film, you know, you work a regular job and all this stuff, is there any advice you could give to me where, you know, you can get the talent and, I mean, how do you get, like, backers, investors? Do you know anything about that? I mean, any advice, like, with films that want to do anything?
No.
I wonder if Doug would know.
No, I never got into that part of it, you know. I've always been lucky that I knew people and projects were going already and stuff like that, but I never had to start it from scratch or anything like that, especially independent film nowadays compared to what it was back in the old days. You know, there's so many people back here in Hollywood at the time had the money, they were just looking for a project to back up. And nowadays, it's not there anymore. It's not like it back in the old days, you know. Unless you got a big name or you establish yourself,
yeah.
Nobody wants to talk to you anymore. It's so hard nowadays. Yeah,
it's
truly
hard.
Yeah, and then you got to, you know, if you do get a good project, you got to make sure it's a good, whatever you have on film is going to be great. That's the whole thing. But then you got to bring out to people that are in the business, you know, especially either in New York or in Hollywood, you know, that's what the two main places, you know, you got to bring it to the people that know. And so that's a lot of things. So you got to work with people that's been in the business that can help you right there. Yeah, so like I said, I don't have that much experience in, so I don't want to give you any wrong ideas or different ways.
Okay, you've been in it for a while. I was like,
yeah.
I'll probably ask people, you know, when they come on the show. I didn't mean to put you on the spot or anything.
No problem.
You have way more experience and stuff than I did. I was like, any advice is always appreciated.
Oh, yeah, if I knew that, I'd be blabbing right now about it, but I don't,
yeah.
So I'm going to keep my mouth silent on that part. That is not my expertise.
No problem whatsoever. I was like, I'll just stick with films and stuff and ask. And do you have, like, you know, anything else, any more projects? I mean, can you tell us more about the seminar or anything else that's coming up for you?
Well, I have that one coming up in 2 weeks in Tijuana. Then they just put one together for me coming up in October in Mexicali. And I got almost 40 people ready for that one. That's still 3-4 months away, and it's got quite a few people ready for that one. And they've been trying to contact me to go back down to Guadalajara to do my big one. So usually I have over 80 to 100-something people now on that one. So I'm trying to find a location because my person that was down there to host me the last few times is getting ready to move to Canada, so she won't be there anymore. So I got to find another host school that will set it up and take care of things for me. So I can go down there. But that and a few other karate schools have contacted me to do similar things to teach, you know, what I have to show them so they can expand on their program. But, you know, a lot of times, depending on what art you do and what you have, it stops to a certain level. You know, you can only do a karate set so many different ways. It's just a different pattern, but it's still the same technique. But kung fu, I mean, like I say, you can go 20, 30 years and still never you do the same technique twice. There's so much to it. You know, there's so much to the system. So a lot of times now that a lot of the guys that want to do, they want to learn more about the meditation, learn more about healing, more about the mind and the body, and just try to work in at the upper half, you know, a lot of the secret art. That's why a lot of people are now going into Tai Chi. Tai Chi is what the most highly practiced martial art in the world.
Yes. I trained for a year with Z, and the thing that was amazing, I mean, I've always been kind of religious. The thing is, when I was training, we were training on a big, huge tree. You know, like you hear about the Tree of Life.
Right.
was training on this, under this big, huge tree. And when I started getting into it, because it was before I was going to work, and, you know, like I'm trying to remember things, you know, about opening. I'm trying to, like, because I haven't done it for a while, and I'm trying to, like, maybe I can look up tutorials and stuff on YouTube. But, you know, remembering about guiding the spirit and all these things, and I'm going, I had such a spiritual awakening. Like, I felt like I was connected with everything around me because we were near a river.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really beautiful outside. So when I was training, I felt something. I don't know what
right.
it was. I don't know if it was something spiritual, if I felt like, you know, with God and stuff. But there was something I felt different when I was training Tai Chi. Do you know what that could be? I mean, do I sound crazy or?
No. You get in tune with your body and the elements out there. You know, so they always tell you have the five elements that you work with, the earth, the fire, the wind, you know, so you have all these things, metal and so forth, and you're just getting in tune and you get the flow, but your body is controlled by the elements, and so now you're learning to be part of the element, you're having it flow through you, the energy, so you take on the tree where it has that element of growth and warmth and strength. So you feel that. Then you get the water element where it's flowing through your body and nothing can stop it. You know, you have so much force, but yet you can still control it all. So everything is by using it and controlling with the mind, and that's how you control the chi. You can bring it up and down your body. You can warm it up. You can cool your body off. You can make it strong. You can make it weak. You do so many things. But that's why people learn the Tai Chi to understand what it is, the yin and the yang and the five elements of the body. So you learn to unite everything together. You know they're separate. When one creates the other, one creates the other, and one can destroy the other. So you have to learn the elements of both, you know, how to create and how to destroy or how to control it. So all you're doing is just getting in tune with your spiritual self. But in your body, you have your physical body, but you also have your internal body or your psychic body inside. Mm-hmm. And that's what controls all your meridian points. And when you have certain injuries or illness, that you can heal yourself. And so you have to be in tune with yourself to heal yourself. Take my energy, that certain portion of the body, to heal that organ because it's right now under substance of energy or overabundance. I either got to put energy in there or take energy out of there. So you're trying to rebalance yourself again. So it's like when you was born, your body was in perfect shape. It was everything was balanced, everything. And from there, you start adding different things, your knowledge, because your mind is a sponge. So now that you now start doing the Tai Chi, now it's taking you back to where your childhood to understand the balance of nature. That's all you're doing. Learning to balance yourself, make yourself balanced with the world, make you and the earth the one.
So what would be considered chi if there was a thing, you know, about healing, you know, with your hands with touch?
Right.
I know my brother Z does this, and I've people said if you focus in on your hands or whatever, is you can make your hands feel warmer.
Right.
And that's kind of like a healing. I mean, like I said, I just know basis of these things, and it's is that chi when you're focusing for the healing and your hands get a little bit warm. I'm not saying like real hot, but I've actually felt my hands a little bit warm. Is that actual chi?
Yeah, that is chi. But see, once you learn to increase your energy and use it, you can follow it. You can take your hand and go over other people's body and move and feel the blockage in the meridian points of their body, you can open it up. So your chi also that you move there, you can open channels. So like you can feel a person may have certain pain in the back, you can either move the hand a certain way clockwise and it will put energy in or counterclockwise to draw the energy out because it's over or under abundance of energy. So that's what people don't understand. They feel, oh, well, there's something here, so let me keep circling this way. No, you're putting more in there, causing more pain. You have to go the opposite direction and lessen the pain. That's what people don't understand. That's when you do the needles, so if you're watching acupuncture, is he turning to the right or is he turning to the left? Is he putting energy in or is he taking energy out? See, that's what people don't understand. But you can do the same thing with the hand, the chi that moves in there. It's just that you're doing it without the needles. Other people are doing it with the needles where they put the chi in their fingers and they transfer it into the needle and put it into the body or remove it from the body. So the chi, depending on which way you circle the hand, it will increase or decrease the energy in there also. But you can look at it, you can subconsciously look at your hand and think as you look at your fingertips, you can bring the energy from your fingertips all the way up into your elbow and then bring it back down the backside of your hand, down toward your fingertips. And so if you just look at it, so you think energy inhaling, I'll take the energy up from the palm up to my elbow, turn the hand over, and then think exhale, and you'll see the energy go all the way down or feel the energy go all the way down your finger. So the same thing, when we do the breathing pattern, we try to breathe from the heel. That's what I say, you're rooted to the ground. So you breathe from the heel, bring the energy through the back of your leg, to the top of the head, that's called the crown, the energy point there, and then it goes to the third eye, then it goes down the front of the body. So you take the inhale from the back of the body and you take the exhale down the front of the body, and you'll feel your chi move. And each time you can move it, you know, into the different organs, your spleen, your kidneys, your liver, your heart, so forth. So that's just a basic overall. Of course, you get specifically, there's so many different things you have to know about it.
Well, I had another question because I don't know if this is related to chi or anything like that. Now, you know, everybody, I don't know if you want to call it a blessing or not, and I don't know if it's anything to do with conscience. I have very strong emotions. I feel so much with my heart. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but I see things, whether I'm happy or sad, I have emotions to cry. I don't know what it is. It's like people say, oh, you're so silly. Like when I see something really beautiful, like really, you know, like something that's very touching, but it's really beautiful, I'm happy, I have an overwhelmness to cry. And I don't understand why I do that. And people say it's a blessing because it's my heart. But I was like, is it silly or lame to say that I could cry at the drop of a hat when I find something beautiful? I don't know what it is.
No, it's just the emotion behind it, but some things are so beautiful that it's overwhelming and it takes over. But your emotion only covers so much. You know, you're gonna laugh for so long and smile so much, and then it takes you to the emotion of crying. So it's an outlet. So it relieves you also. But you can feel like sometimes you're gonna burst inside. Well, sometimes that crying is what relieves it, and it channels it a different way. But it also makes you respect what you're seeing, that you enjoy it. And you love it, and that's part of it. You have that overall warm feeling. Oh, this is great. I can't believe this. And that's all part of Mother Nature. You learn to get in tune with it all. So emotion
is
in
there. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Is something wrong with me when I'm like, I see something really beautiful. Like I saw, I forget his name, but I almost started crying. Like a couple things on, I forget what show it was, but I think it was in Korea. And Sung Bong Choi, he was, he's 22 years old, or he's a couple years older, and he grew up homeless on the streets. He had to leave an orphanage, and he wanted to sing. And
right,
he's going
right.
on and on. And the judges, I don't know if you know, if you heard this kid.
I saw him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And I see something like that with him. And when he went to audition, I'm bawling like a baby. And I'm going,
me too. I'm just as emotional as you. I saw that, and I cried, too. Yeah, I'm a man. They say, you should be crying. Say, hey, it doesn't matter. That's what people understand. Well, man, you should be manly. You shouldn't be crying. Emotions are emotion. If there's something joyful that really is overwhelming, yes. I tell people, you can cry all day long. It does not matter. It'll make you less than a man. It's that you have emotion. Well, that's what a lot of people have now, but they can't control the emotion when they have no emotion. They're just dead to the world. And how can you get in tune with anybody? You have nothing.
Yeah.
You have nothing in common. You don't understand the other person. We're sitting there. We see that. We understand what that person went through. We can feel his pain.
Oh.
You know, that's all part of it. That's all. That's what people always gonna say. I said, I cry, and you can laugh all you want. I don't care. I can still whoop your ass. You know, so I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't really go to that point. But you know, so crying is just part of life.
Well, can you explain to me why people, okay, now I understand that, but can you explain to me, because this I'll never understand, you know how it's like, maybe it's a younger generation, I don't know, but going to look at, like, you know, the actors, like, from Twilight, the guy, Edward, right, the mopey, mopey thing, I cannot stand that, where it's like, what is going on, where I can understand that, but it's like, girls are finding that mopiness in a guy, and it's like, I don't get it. It's like, I understand about emotions and stuff, but can you explain to me why I can't find that attractive, like the guy from Twilight, where his thing is all mopey, like a lot of, you know, Kirsten Stewart, that type of actress. I was like, she's mopey all the time in all her roles, and I was like, I don't understand that. That is not something I can't stand. It's...
Uh-huh.
Can you find why people would like that type of thing? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I have not watched any of the Twilight series at all, so I don't even know who we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
my son was in it. You know,
I
only saw his part, and I just never got behind the series. I watched 10 minutes. It just bored to me. I said, bye. That's it.
Yeah,
I can't handle this.
That's what I was trying to understand, because people are like, oh, Shelley, you got to give this film a try. And I've watched it, and I'm going, how? I don't know. People like, I'm like, I just can't get into it, and it's like, it's depressing.
I can't do it. My girls love it. They got the books. I mean, they got all the DVDs. They're into it. But I just can never get behind it. Well, even my son couldn't do it. He was in it, but he said, I don't understand that series. I don't know anything about it. I said, me too. I said, I tried to watch it a couple of times. I said, everybody keep talking about it. I said, let me try again. And every so often, I give it a try. I said, the same results. I'm sorry. I can't watch it. You know, give me the Fast and Furious, and I'm ready to go. I got some action. I can follow behind, do some crazy stuff, you know. But that series, I could not keep behind. Nope.
Yeah. And I'm a woman, too, and it's like, but I don't know, maybe because because, I don't know, maybe they're young enough that it would be jailbait for me. I don't know. I mean, I know there's older women that like them, but I mean, the guy that plays the werewolf, he's more better looking than Edward, and I'm like, I don't know what it is in this day and age when it seems like there's a certain generation and they want the mopey actors, and I'm like, that's not attractive to me. I want a guy that's a man, that's a human being with emotions, but, you know, that is... I don't know. I can't stand guys that mope. Is it the emo complex or something? I don't know what it's called nowadays. It's something, you know what I'm saying? It was like, I will never get that. It's like people are like, well, you're old, you'll never understand it. But if you're mopey and you've never gone through things and you're just mopey, I'll never get that, because I know people that have had problems and they're happy. And then there's people that have this whole generation where they're all like, I'm so depressed, but have no reason. There's life out there. Life is a wonderful thing, and if you want to walk around, I mean, who am I to judge? You know what I'm saying? Who am I to judge? But that type of emotions, I'll never understand.
right, yeah. Well, I can't explain that one. You know, that's a little... You got to find the individual and go from there. You know, I can't do a general one on that one there, so I'll leave that one alone.
It's kind of strange, yeah. So, but I'll move on. And, like, so are you going to be working on, I mean, I know about seminars. Are you going to be working on and with training any more people in the future? Or can you tell us more about how can you get tickets for your seminar or anything about your school, like where you want to train for people out there that want to look you up?
Yeah, they can get on the website. It's we have one for our studio, which is called White Lotus. kungfu.com, and there's an email on there. You can contact us. Have them, like, right now in 3 weeks I have a group coming from Italy to study with me, and so I'll be working with them for a couple of days and explain to them before. And, you know, they're also into work with Danny and Santos and JKD style, but now they're trying to branch out and learn some of the other stuff that Bruce Lee was involved in. And so they knew that he was involved in part of the Five Animal, Tai Chi, and all this stuff. So that's where they're coming to me to discover more of the other styles besides just the fighting aspects. They want to know the movements that he did and how the philosophy is behind it all. And so I'll be teaching that group there. And then, and, you know, I get calls from England, from everywhere, you know, that people want to come down and spend a couple of days with me and talk, pick my mind and different things, or to have something specific that they want to learn. And so, you know, yeah, just contact us there on the White Lotus Kung Fu website. They can also go into our studio called JAM. That's joiningallmovements.com, and that's my son and his two partners. That's their studio, and you can contact us through there. We have so many different programs in there, free running, parkour, the martial arts. We have a stunt group going on there. We have a dance studio. We're teaching different things, hip-hop, this type, you know, all different things. We have one girl's going to be coming in and teaching the Hawaiian dancing, the hula and stuff like that. We have different people coming in and training now. We have some of the guys from America Best Dance Cruise, you know, all the different shows. They come there and work out and practice. So like I say, almost every night we have some celebrity working out there, you know, or trying to learn to add to their skill level to do into different movies and stuff like that. So, you know, we're willing to help. And my son's involved in a lot of different things. And just finished doing Captain America 2, finished that project. He's working on Call of Duty now, the video game. He's doing all the motion capture on that. He's getting ready to go to Greece in August. He's a spokesman for Red Bull. And they're doing a parkour competition in there. This is the second year he'll be going over there. So he gets to go spend a couple of days in Greece and enjoy that and talk and do, you know, skill level on that. And he's going to be in the new Transformer movie that's coming out. They haven't started filming. They're just starting to cast it now, but he's in it already. So
Gravison? Really?
Yeah. He's going to be Transformer. That's a new one. And they're talking about G.I. Joe 3 coming up. That should be coming up soon. They talked to my wife. They want to expand her role in it, so she'll get a bigger fighting scene in or something like that. And, you know, that's about, you know, there's just so many other things coming on. We don't even know what's coming on yet. It's so crazy, you know. Every day we hear something different and what new project. And he's supposed to be going to China to do his thing with John Woo. So that's coming up in, now they said, July or August, somewhere around that time period. So he's going to go do that also. And waiting for his other company that they got their $45 million project to start filming also, and they're not even going to do it in the States. They were supposed to go to India, but now they're trying to do it here in the States. So hopefully that happens soon. So, yeah, he's getting called to do seminars all over. He's been back and forth to San Diego, to New Orleans, to here and there, you know, to different places that are opening up parkour places now. So they're having him come in as a special guest to come talk, to some show certain techniques. He was on Home and Gardens TV about 2 weeks ago, and he took his group on there, and they had him do a 15-minute demo on parkour and stuff like that. And they announced he was Travis was the first tricker, as they call it, you know, doing parkour and stuff. First tricker to get movie credit on one of the movies. He did Step Up 3. He was he did some of the stunts and stuff on there. So he was the first one to get the credit in movies for that. So he did that. So it's pretty good. So he's still going. He's going strong.
I found him on Facebook, but the thing is, I try to friend him on Facebook because I can't. I was able to send him a message, excuse me, but he there was too many people that hasn't asked him as a friend, so he can't.
Yeah, he's overloaded. He's overloaded. He's got two sites, and they're overloaded already, so you just have to, I don't know how to connect on to him, you know.
I know he has to, like, he's probably too busy to friend everyone, but he sent me links, and I watched his stuff. I went to his website, and I saw him. We had a video with Flower something. He was doing something, and someone threw Flower at him. I forget which video thing he was. I don't know if you've seen it. It was, someone was like, what the heck? I don't know, was it an initiation in the film? I was just like, what?
I haven't seen that one.
Crazy. It's some sort of, I don't know what they threw at him. It was some sort of initiation or something. And I was like, it was more to the film than that. And I was like,
Okay. I know which one that one. That was part of the TV series they had on Hulu. There was a TV series, I can't think of the name of it, but he was part of the character. He played two different characters. Jimmy Angel was one, then when he took over that role, when they put that, it was some kind of dust on his body, and they gave him a different name. He went on the evil side. So that's part of when he was screaming and hollering. I know which part you're talking about now. Yeah, so they gave him another character name. But he never went back on that series because he got so busy, he just couldn't go back on it. That was one of John Chu. He's the guy who put up all the Step Up 3. So that was his series. He handled it for about 3 years on Hulu. And so it was the first cable show that they put together like that. And so he took all the dancers that he used in all his different movies, and they're part of the character in that new series that they did. So it was a new way of reaching people without actually doing a movie. So, you know, it's just new ways of getting into the market. So, that's another way, you know. So it was crazy, but he's working on that. Now he's going to start his own series on YouTube and stuff, a bunch of stuff. He's filming and going to different tournaments and documenting them and talking to some of the pioneers that began in the parkour and free running and stuff like that. So I'm waiting for his documentary film to come out also. You know, he was. They did it about 2 years ago, but it's just put on the market. But I still haven't seen it yet. I wish you hurry up and bring it out so we can start marketing that and putting it out, you know, so people can see what it's all about. It was a good explanation what parkour is, what free running is, and what breakdancing is. But there's three guys they focus on them. They're highlighting that film. My son was one of them. And gives these little less known arts, you know, that people were doing. So, just another expression. So, that's the only thing I'm working with him. And, you know, if he needs help with anything, I'm helping him with that, you know, and stuff. And a lot of times these guys are working on different projects. They need martial art training. So he'll bring them in, and I'll train a bunch of guys in that, you know, depending on what art they want to do. But they have to do Japanese art or do the Wing Chun Chinese art or do you have to do animal style, whatever. So he brings a group of guys in, and I just work with him. So I'm always involved somewhere.
If he ever has time, maybe I'll have to have him on my show, even if it was just a half hour, you know, help get his stuff, you know, I know he's probably bigger than my show, but, you know, I would love to have him on. Maybe I'll write to him and stuff, even a half hour just to have it and talk about him and stuff.
Yeah. I said we get him up on Sunday. You know, he's usually up late. I sent him a thing. I'll be on radio at 9 this morning, but I know he's still asleep. But no problem. But he does all different shows. Whoever asks him, he gets on there, so it's no problem. He's not that big headed about anything like that. You know, he's always out there willing to help other people and just talk and do things. You know, I've always taught those guys, you gotta talk to everybody, be friendly with everybody. You know, if they ask you, why not? If you got time, do it. It's no problem.
I can't believe the 2 hours have gone by.
It's been a little time on here.
I cannot believe it. We talked for 2 hours nonstop. I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on to my show, and I hope to bring you on again any time.
Oh yeah,
if you
no problem.
I'll promote any of your seminars or anything. Just let me know. I'll get you on my show, no problem whatsoever. And thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, sharing your knowledge and stuff. And I wanted to say thank you so much for today.
Okay, no problem. We'll do it again soon. Okay, take care.
You enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Will do. Okay, you too now. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right.
I cannot believe 2 hours have just gone by. I seriously cannot believe. I mean, that was just so awesome. So thank you. Thank you, Douglas, once again for coming on my show. And it looks like the show is really about to end. And I just feel very blessed and very honored once again to have Douglas on my show. And I think in the beginning of the show and on my Facebook page, I do apologize because I was trying to give respect to a couple of people out there. And Nasty Liu passed away, a really great man. So it's Liu. Once again, no disrespect there. And I just wanted to give some props out to a very great man. And once again, Douglas, thank you so much for coming on my show. And anybody that, does have a dream, remember, you're as good as anybody else, so you go for it. And I'd like to end the show with a very positive note with the song, which will be in a film that I'm actually starring in called Falcyr, F-A-L-C-Y-Y-R. Anybody that would like to do any donations, go into that page. You can check it out. I'm one of the leads. We were doing a great big battle scene, with horses and us women doing our own fights and our own stunts. And to end the show, with the song, I always like open up Pisces Project. It's with Horace Accord, Deleuze, and Sonari, his wife. They get to sing together. Anyway, I'd like to play the song, and everyone, just enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon. All right, bye-bye.